Welcome to Eat This Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore, and I'm happy to be here with you. We do this twice a week. We chew on God's Word and share that with you, what we've been wrestling with in our own life. This week, we have Jamie Harms.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome, Jamie. Jamie, do you feel weird at all?
Do I feel weird?
Yeah. You feel weird at all coming back this week?
Well, no.
Okay. I felt like mutual degrees of relief and tiredness.
Oh, because of everything that happened last
week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a little tired this week for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we just finished up with Good Friday.
Yes.
Which included Way of the Cross.
Yes.
For like 7 or 8 hours, something crazy.
Yes.
And then we did Good Friday service. And then we had Easter.
Yes.
All just wham, bam, bam.
All good things.
All wonderful good things. Mm-hmm. And some of those things have promoted some discussion or dialogue.
It has.
I'm like, why do we do X, Y, and Z? And what is that like? So we talked a little bit about what you've been chewing on. So I will give you the room.
Well, one of the things I've been chewing on that I was talking with Chris before this was the response to Good Friday. As different people were coming into service, some people were dressed in black and kind of embraced this somberness of the evening. Mm-hmm. And some were questioning, well, why are we, shouldn't we be celebrating? Because this was good news that Jesus did die on the cross. And so it just got me thinking, like, why do we have a solemn Good Friday service? And is it necessary?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is called Good Friday.
It is called Good Friday.
So we might be inclined to set aside some of our observations and go, no, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is good. We have to be happy. We have to rejoice, which we should. Mm-hmm. The results of Good Friday, very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Good Friday in one of these conversations I was having was talking about, it's not necessarily a happy Friday, but it produces joy.
Yeah.
And joy and happiness are different things. Mm-hmm. But when I look at the whole year of Sundays that we have, everything is very exciting and celebratory because we live in light of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. But very rarely do we have a space to be somber, to lament our sin. And maybe that's the purpose of Good Friday.
Yeah. Well, we see at the very least, we see what sin cost.
Yes. And so there is that element of recognizing the gift.
Yeah.
But I also think there is not a whole lot of space for us as believers to wrestle with those negative emotions that we have to lament.
Yeah.
Or grief or hurt, because when we come on Sunday, we're celebrating.
Yeah.
And so what does that look like? Maybe that is part of the Good Friday service, where we have a space to say, Lord, this world right now is not the way you intended, and it hurts.
Yeah. And I think the beauty of Christ, one of the many beautiful facets of him, is that he stepped into that.
Yes.
He didn't slap a smiley face on, you know, and hand out pins with smiley faces on them to put on your robes. Mm-mm. He stepped into that. I mean, it tells us that he was a compassionate high priest. He stepped in to suffer and be tempted in all the ways. Mm-hmm. And we see in his life that he experienced grief and pain and weariness and these things.
And betrayal and all of that.
And it begs the question, where is the place within the Christian church, the universal church and the local church, if not informed by Christ's life and his work, which includes suffering? Where is the place for suffering and lament and pain if not the church?
Well, and when we look at Christ's example of suffering, and then he says, essentially, we're going to suffer.
Oh, yeah.
As Christians. And so I think the difference, though, with, you know, lament is it's okay for us to say, you know, I don't understand why this is happening. I met with a woman who was put on hospice this week, and she was saying, you know, I know that God is good and that I can trust him, and I'm scared.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do we do with those emotions where our head and our heart are trying to reconcile with one another?
Yeah.
And so we see examples of this throughout the Bible, though, too, with Jesus, with David in the Psalms, especially.
Oh, yeah.
I know even this morning, and staff meeting reading Psalms 13, and it's has this whole crying out thing, like, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? He's not shying away from mm-hmm. saying, Lord, where are you?
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on. But I think that the beauty of lament is that we can come to God and say those things, and he says, yep, and I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm not taking this necessarily from you
mm-hmm.
and making it all better and so that you're happy, but I'm with you through this.
Yep.
And so that's something that I think we need to practice, because all of us are going to hit that point at some time.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do with it when it does?
Yeah, because we're left with a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
If the church has no space for this, mm-hmm. for lamenting our suffering and what we're currently experiencing, like you said, where do we go?
Mm-hmm.
To where do we turn?
mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, even if you're not in a season, somebody you know might mm-hmm. be. And so how do you not be like Job's friends, but how do you encourage them and actually point them to Jesus?
Yeah. And lament with them.
And lament with them. Weep yeah. with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn. There's blessings that come with that too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I appreciate, you know, I think when I was growing up in the church, there was certainly a stage in my life where I gained a new level of self-awareness. And I was like, wait a minute. My life sucks, like emotionally.
uh-huh.
And like, I'm looking around at the church and the church people, and I'm going, this feels so fake. How come nobody else's life is like this? Where's their suffering? And I knew, you know, to some degree, everyone has gone through this mm-hmm. or is in some stage of that. But I just came to that realization. I thought, is this not the place that we should mm-hmm. be able to come around each other and point everyone towards Christ and say, yes, this is horrible and wretched and awful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not necessarily to provide answers or solutions, but to simply mourn with them.
Mm-hmm. And be with them. And we can look around on a Sunday morning and see a bunch of people and think, oh, they've got it all together.
It's very
when
easy.
When we all actually have different things that God is working on in our own mm-hmm. heart and minds. And so sometimes when those hard times come, it's easy for us to kind of self-focus mm-hmm. and sort of also have our eyes up to where we can see and be encouraged by other people who God is doing other things in their life, and we can rejoice with those too.
Yeah.
And so just kind of having that perspective that, you know, we are not in this alone. we're all here, but we can mourn with one another and we can rejoice with one another.
Yeah.
Because both happen.
Yeah. And there's mm-hmm. no better moment in history
mm-hmm.
than I think the suffering of Christ to focus our minds and hearts on, to give us give lamenting and the attention it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Christ and what he had to endure, not just the physical consequences, but the spiritual consequences
mm-hmm.
of drinking in the wrath of the mm-hmm. Father, you know, on our behalf, that there is a joy to that, but there ought to be, I think, that somber quality mm-hmm. of grief, like mm-hmm. he took my place.
And I think there's grief and anger that can draw us away from God. And mm-hmm. I think lament is something that draws us to him
mm-hmm.
because it causes us to come to him like the psalmist and say, why,
yeah.
Lord, or I don't understand this, or to recognize something in us or sinful things and mourn those things.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we choose to lament and we choose to wrestle with God, I love the picture of Jacob wrestling mm-hmm. with the angel, wrestling with God, and he comes away changed and different, not healed. His hip is not healed for the rest of his life as a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we see like as we choose to lament and come to him or move towards him with other people, it's help.
Yeah.
We get to wrestle with God and hopefully create that depth and intimacy that we wouldn't have had if we hadn't ever wrestled in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Come away changed. So it allows us to draw closer to him. It can, if we choose to become self-absorbed, drive us away from them.
Yeah.
So when we have those times of grief and when we have those things that are overwhelming us, that's when we turn to God in a form of lament to mm-hmm. draw close to him.
Because we understand that Good Friday and the crucifixion mm-hmm. is a response and an answer to sin.
Mm-hmm.
What part do you think repentance plays
mm-hmm.
within the whole operation of Good Friday and how we should be conditioning our hearts in that time?
Mm-hmm. So I was a part of a different Christian tradition in the past
mm-hmm.
That was much more liturgical. And they would fast from Good Friday to Easter because as they heard the story of Christ and his sacrifice, then they would spend that whole next day in confession and repentance. And so it is through the act of confessing and repenting that I think God can then heal us. Otherwise, we just hold on to it and we don't let God touch it. And so recognizing that he is offering this grace, he's paid for this grace for us, allows us to then hopefully be able to reflect and turn and repent of those things. And so it's that reminder once again of, no, wait, the world is broken, but I am here to redeem you. I've paid this price. And so you can come to me with all of that junk and garbage in you, and I can redeem that. Which comes through confession and repentance.
Right. Yeah, they're essential. And again, if we don't ever suffer, I think suffering is the fruit of brokenness. And that brokenness is at its root sin. Whether we're experiencing the consequence or we've created the suffering ourselves. And all of them can point us towards the cross and towards confession and repentance.
Well, and even as Jerrell said in Good Friday, sometimes we're the recipient of other people's consequences too. And so sin does not affect just us, and it affects all kinds of people around us. And so, but the same thing, grace can be for all around us too. And so we get to lean into that grace that Christ has given us.
And I think one of the last things I have to say is the part of the beauty of Good Friday is that it brings us, it humbles us necessarily. So that we then can feel the contrast come Sunday. And how, because especially in the West, where we have a really comfortable life, we celebrate Easter every year. Here it comes again. We're doing this again. The more you experience the temptation to be jaded and disinterested is, but I think really looking in the face of Good Friday helps form our hearts in a way that prepares it for the joy and the relief and the rejoicing that Easter brings.
It's a stark contrast where sometimes if you go directly into Easter, then you don't have that contrast. But there's a sweetness and a richness to recognizing how broken we are, but how loved we are, that God came and he died for us. And that's what we celebrate, that he's now alive and with us on Easter. That is the hope of our future.
And that is the good news.
It is the good news.
Well, I love this season. I mean, it's the season that we really intentionally, I mean, we as a church, you know, the gospel is always centered to the way we work and the way we think and the sermons we preach. But it's always nice to just dedicate our attention to these things. And so I'm always delighted when it comes around.
Me too.
Jamie, thank you.
You're welcome.
For pondering these things and then sharing them with us. Hopefully, listener, you are encouraged. And for those times, and maybe now is one of them, that you are suffering and that you have all of this pent-up feeling, this grief, and that has nowhere to go. Hopefully this is a reminder that Christ suffered, that Christ makes a purpose for our pain, a pathway in which we can pour those things out before him and he can make sense of them.
He welcomes it when we come in and wrestle with him.
What a beauty in that. All right, listener, thank you for coming along this journey with us. We will catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.